Nation is supposed to be one nation under God. And God put this nation into existence for the purpose of the gospel being restored. And God won't, you can mark this down, it's in Scripture. This nation won't fall until God does restore His church. We're still looking at the greatest revival that the Gentile world has ever seen out here ahead of us. But it may take greater calamities than what's come on us to get us to get on our knees and begin to seek God and dedicate ourselves more to God. I'm talking about as a nation. And I have to include myself in on it, because I know that I could do better. These things make me realize, you know, that a lot of things that we prioritize in our life shouldn't be prioritized. It shouldn't be such a priority. The things of God are to be the first and foremost things in our lives. But even if you went back before Moses and their journey through the wilderness to go to the promised land, and you think about how God is trying, when you look at the history of mankind and how the fall took place out of the garden, and out of that, it took even after the fall of Adam, it didn't take very long for a wickedness and an unrighteous line to develop. But there was a righteous line that held a certain righteousness in the earth for 1,000 years. But it finally, wickedness got so bad, God said, this will destroy my purpose and my plan if I let it go on any further. And so he found a man that feared him, a man that would obey him. And he told him, I'm going to destroy the world, and I want you to build an ark. I'm going to do it with water. Jesus said, when he comes back again, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. He said they'll be marrying and eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, men will just go on doing what men do. The world's going to go right on doing what it was doing. Just like in the days of Noah. Noah was over there building the ark. Him and his family. That's a picture of Jesus and his church. Somebody fears God. Somebody has a vision of God's purpose. And we're working and laboring on the ark while the world goes on doing what the world's doing. One of these days, though, it's going to start raining. The Bible said God shut the door. One of these days, did you know God's going to shut the door to salvation? One of these days, He's going to have harvested all he can harvest. He's going to finally have gathered all he can gather out of this world. And the battle of Armageddon is going to take place. It's a destruction God's going to bring on the world. God, he made sure that his purpose was protected. God knows that they're in what he's doing, that there's a remnant of people going to be saved out of each world. He saved men and women out of the Jewish world. After he destroyed the world with water, Noah wasn't that many years that out of Noah's descendants that came Abraham. And God found a man that feared him. And again, when I use that word, I say he reverenced God and honored the authority. Honored God as the source of life and the authority that was in control of this whole creation and everything and everyone in it. And that he would And that if I don't serve him, you know, Jesus, one of the things that he gave on the Sermon on the Mount was, fear not him that's able to destroy your body, but fear him that's able to destroy both your body and soul in hell. Don't worry about dying, in other words, but worry about God. Worry about God's judgment. Just because you die, that doesn't end things with God. Precious, the psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So sometimes, just like this situation in Haiti, don't you know there's people in the body in Haiti that's lost. Brother Lionel Joseph's right-hand man lost everyone in his wife and all his kids. Don't you know he wants to know why? I remember when Brother Johnny Budd's little boy died. Sister Smith and I was in a meeting in Chino, California. This was back in the 80s, early 80s. And we went to, where was that? Where is that? I don't know the name of that place. Was it Disneyland? Is that what it was? I'm not good at things like that. You know, you'd almost have to pay me to go to one of them places, much less me have to pay somebody to get in. Because I'm bored the whole time I'm there. I'll just tell you up front, that's not recreation to me. You know, walking around for miles in the hot sun, round and round circles, and yeah, I've got on a few of them rides and got a thrill for a minute or two, you know, but anyway. But Brother and Sister Bud was in there, and they didn't know we were there, but we followed them around. They were as far as from here at the front of the church, and we watched them walk around. And you could tell they were sick in their soul. Their little boy got killed in a car wreck. They didn't understand why God let it happen. But they kept serving God. About 10 years later, my phone rang about 2 o'clock in the morning in Springfield, Missouri. And it was Brother Bud on the other line. And he was crying. He said, Brother Smith, it's my baby girl. She's dead. The officers had just left his house and brought him the sad news. I could hear his wife. He could hardly control her in the background. Sister Smith and I got up, packed our clothes, got in the car and headed for Sebastopol. I remember that whole situation, hearing it over and over again. Why? 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 There's some things that happens that we just cannot answer. They're just not an answer, a human answer for. But I watched Brother Bud get stronger in God. I watched him. I watched him help his wife and tell her, if we let this destroy our soul, we'll be total failures. He said, we've got to serve God. We've got to know God knows what's best. We've got to accept what God does. Well, I can't give you the answer for why. You know, I've watched him now for 25, 30 years, and I've seen him hold on, serve God without any children, you know, without kids. When we're doing things with our children, they're not, they don't have any children to do anything with. They finally now have two grandchildren, one of which is in church with them. So they're enjoying their granddaughter and her new baby. And has brought some comfort to their lives. But my point is not what happened, but how it humbled them. They took the humble route. They feared God. See, some people turn against God. Some people get angry with God. They don't accept God's purpose. They don't accept His wisdom. They don't fear or reverence Him. You have to get that planted in you. Somewhere it's got to get planted in you that God has a purpose. And then look, death, Brother Talley mentioned this about the resurrection. See, death doesn't end things with God. And even all of what God lets happen, I can see the scripture that I read to you today, why God let Israel go through a wilderness condition. It was to humble them as a people. It wasn't just punishment. Some people died in punishment. But it was to teach them to fear God. It was to get something across. God will spare souls. He'll spare lives, at least temporarily. You realize that 70 years is like that with God? We're talking about a God that has no time. He's always been. He always will be. And He can resurrect and speak His children back into existence just like that. God showed that to Jesus concerning Lazarus. He wanted the people of God to get that lesson. Martha, God wouldn't let him go. Remember, He told His disciples, He said, Lazarus sleepeth. He wanted them to get it. They just kept pressing Him because they heard that He was really dead. Finally, He said to them, He's dead. But He refrained from going until after He died. And after they buried Him, and Martha, when she saw Him, she said, Lord, if You'd have been here, He wouldn't have died. If You would have just came. He said, Martha. She said, I know He'll live in the resurrection. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection. She didn't get that right then. It took later for her to get it. To realize that there's life in Christ. There's life. For those of us that are serving God, are dedicated to Him, Paul wrote it down for us in his second letter to the Corinthians in the 5th chapter when he said, if this tabernacle, if this house does be dissolved, we have another house made in the heavens. There's another body for God's saints. God, He'll preserve His saints. They're precious in His sight. Even their death is precious in His sight. But God, He does. I mentioned how God called Abraham, and many of you know the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how Jacob had 12 sons, and how Joseph, one of his sons, because of his dreams, was hated by his brothers. He had a mind for God. He loved the things of God. God gave him a dream, and he went and told his brothers. He thought they would be happy with him, that God showed me the sun and the moon, mom and daddy, and the stars. And they all fell down and worshiped me or paid obeisance to me. Well, they thought, you little devil, You think we're going to let you be in charge of us? And they sold him. Here's a child of God. He winds up in Egypt, and he goes to work and becomes a faithful, good servant. Accepts what God done. And the man, he's a servant for our Potiphar, his wife, lied on him, and he wound up thrown in a dungeon. Most people would have said, I've had it with this God of Israel. I've had it with you, God. But it some way it humbled him. And God put him through something. He didn't know it, but God was preparing him to be the chief leader of the whole nation of Egypt. And Israel. That God sent all of Israel to him to take care of and preserve. You see, sometimes we can't see the mighty hand of God. He's willing. He's willing. He was willing to send his son and watch him die on a cross. He's willing to sacrifice and sorrow. He knows your sorrows. He knows how much you sorrow. When and how sad you are when you go through problems and trials and even death of loved ones. But God is willing to suffer with us for our good, not for his good. It won't make him any more righteous, but it's for our good. It's to cause something to happen in us if we'll take it right. I'm just going to tell y'all right now, I'm just now getting warmed up. But I know I don't have time, but I could talk today. But I won't take advantage of you, okay? But if I want to look in the 34th Psalm. In the 7th verse, it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You may even have to be like the three Hebrew children that got through in the fiery furnace. You may have to say, whether God delivers me or not, I'm going to serve him and I won't serve anybody else. And God, your deliverance may be in a resurrection. You better be that committed. You see, because God's deliverance and God's purpose and God's workings is not our ways. And so, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That might be debatable. You know, if you watch some of God's children, he said, I prayed to the Lord in a time of all my troubles. Well, just look at the 17th verse. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. So I'm just read that to let you know God's people have trouble. Yeah, you're going to have trouble. As a matter of fact, God wants you to go through whatever you have to go through. That will humble you and cause you to fear him, reverence him, recognize that he can help you. He can direct you. He can give you wisdom. See, God's not just wanting you to just humble down and make him the boss. That's not what I'm saying at all. Let me tell you, God's the greatest servant that'll ever touch your life. He don't need anybody to make him boss. Well, you know, when you are the boss, you're not wanting anybody to make you boss. You know, if you're daddy, you don't have to make anybody call you daddy. You just are daddy and mama. That's just the place that you have. Of course, if you don't do it right, you might not have the proper honor, but God does it right. He doesn't want you to make him boss. He wants you to realize that you do not have the wisdom to find eternal life without him. He wants you to recognize him and let him instruct you and give you direction towards righteousness and give you the strength and power of right living. Then he can bless you. Then he can honor you. And so he said in the 9th verse, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord," he said. "You children, hearken unto me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil." Now he's starting to teach. You wanna get what it takes to fear God? Keep your tongue from evil. If you can control your tongue, you'll have reins on your heart. And thy lips from speaking guile. Guile is deceit. It's sham. It's falsehood. It's lies. It's deceivableness. It works division. It's the wrong spirit. It's perverse and froward. Depart from evil and do good. There's something for us to do. Seek peace. You don't have it. Seek it. Look for it. Try to figure out how to have it. Ask God for it. Ask God how to work it. In fact, he says, pursue it. Don't just seek it. Pursue it. Get in, hunt for it. Peace in your life. I remember my wife. She and I, when we got married, we just had a little short honeymoon. Matter of fact, she was sick the day we got married, but it wasn't very long that she was on her deathbed. She didn't know she married a Holy Ghost backslidden, called to preach boy. I didn't tell her. What would you say? You know, here's my credentials. I got the Holy Ghost. I've spoken in tongues. I was raised up in church. But I'm living like the devil. And I'm called to preach the gospel. Would you like to marry me? Even Inez thought that was funny. It wasn't very long that she was laying on a deathbed. The doctor said, "She won't live. She can't live. She'll never have any more children." Michael was 6 months old. He said, "She'll be a vegetable. If she pulls out of this, she'll be a vegetable." 20-year-old boy on orders for Vietnam. My wife laying in a deathbed. I had a 6-month-old child. God knows how. He knows how to put you on your knees. The night before she had surgery, that they said she wouldn't make it through. She weighed 56 pounds and she was in a semi-comatose condition, had run a fever of about 104 for 30 days. The night before, my mama said to me, when I took that boy out there for her to take care of, she said, "Son, have you considered God?" I said, "Mother, she's going to die." She said, "What has happened to you?" She said, "No one can die without God's permission." She said, "If I was you, I'd get on my knees." I was adamant, bullheaded and mad. And I said, "She'll die tomorrow." I said, "There's no saving her. The doctors already told me." I got in my car and I drove down that little country lane, turned right out on Mogford Road, and drove about a mile to Highway 281 South and turned right. I went about 1,000 yards and I broke down. Just like that, I started speaking in tongues. I hadn't spoken in tongues in years. I couldn't see how to drive, so I pulled off in a ditch. And before I pulled out of there, I said, "God, if you'll spare her life, I'll serve you for the rest of mine." Well, there she is. Yeah, he held her, but I carried her home, 56 pounds of bones, the ugliest thing you ever laid your eyes on. I carried her from the bed to the tub and bathed her every day, brushed her hair, and took care of her. Finally, one day, she finally got better. And it took us a long time to pull out of that. But I can tell you why God did it. He did it because He loved me. And He loved her. And He wanted us to be saved. And He may have took me lower than that if it would have took it. God's in the business of saving people, and He's not in the business of hurting people. But sometimes God has to let us get low before we'll listen, before we'll cry out to Him. I lived my Christian life several years, getting down, God would take me down, I'd repent. God would pull me out of the mire, and I'd forget. And I'd have to get down low again, and I'd call out to Him again. And He'd pull me back up again. You would have thought that I'd have caught on. I did, but it took a while. Don't be as hard-headed as I am or was. That's why there's times, let me tell you something. I've come through some pretty great temptations in my life, but I've grown to turn them all down. You know why? because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of my Father in heaven. I reverence him, but I know he wants to save me bad enough. He chastises those whom he loves. And he wants to save them. And he don't want us to have to get so low. He don't want to have to take you down low. But I'm going to tell you something, saints. You can get ready for this. God is going to take this nation down low. If you don't, you mark it down, put the date by it, and put my name by it. And if that don't come to pass, you can say I'm a false prophet. But I will prophesy to you today that God is going to take this nation down low and put it on its knees, because this nation has forgot their God. Now God has to take other nations that's never known God. They don't deserve as much punishment. There's things I've learned since I went to the Dominican Republic that I never would have ever learned, the wisdom of God. I asked God after I got over there, why, God, why are these people went through so much? African slaves just been through hell for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know what God spoke to my heart? He said there. Of course, God's great revival, Haiti's, you know, there's several people over there, but the government's corrupt. What runs that is corrupt. You know why the nations won't help her and pull her out of that? It's because corrupt nations use Haiti to do underground dirty work that they can't do legal through any other means. And I'm sorry to tell you, some of your leaders in this country are probably very much involved. God hates that kind of stuff, and he is going to judge it. God showed me, you know, God took my mind back. He said, you remember Ham? You remember the evil of Ham? You remember that I marked Canaan because of his sin? And then I remembered Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. Shem's descendants were the righteous line that became Israel. Japheth's descendants was the unrighteous Gentile line that went up into southern Asia and Assyria. Ham's descendants went down south, Egypt and Africa. But that God dealing with him because of the sin didn't humble him. And he turned a nation into idolatry and voodoo and witchcraft and every kind of evil thing. All he would have had to done was repent. God would have forgiven. God would have forgave him if he'd have repented. But he didn't. But I want to show you how merciful God is. It don't look like mercy if the eyes of man looks at it. But if you see through the eyes of God, you'll see it. That the French went over into Africa and began to capture. How many of you saw Roots several years ago when they showed the... You know, God did that to show this country how wrong they were in their attitude. But one thing that didn't come through in it was God's wisdom in it. Those people came out of a place that was ingrained in witchcraft, idolatry, and every kind of evil thing, had turned against God, the God of all creation. And God sent the French in there and made slaves out of them. There's no other way they'd have got out of there. And brought them over here and sold them into slavery. You know what happened to them? They began to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and begin to sing hymns in the cotton fields and in the rice fields. And God began, they begin to hear about Jesus. And God lifted them up out of that. And today, we have an African-descended president of the United States. Tell me God isn't a good God. Tell me He can't restore. He can. He's a loving God, and He's wise. He's so wise, man can't see it. But He used humility to get His wisdom to man. And He's still today working on us and asking us. You know, I want to serve God in the good times. I don't want to have to get down low to have to serve Him. You know, if we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, we're going to have to, finally, God's going to have to bless us, and we're going to have to live righteous in blessing. Do you know people can't hardly do that? You can't hardly live with blessings. God go to blessing you. God just dumped $1 million on you. What if you did go out and do something wrong, like buy a Powerball ticket? Hey, let me tell you something. I'm going to quit. When I moved to Missouri, I never heard of the lottery. We didn't have a lottery in Texas. When I moved up there, I didn't know what the lottery was. I went into one of those convenience stores. I bought some gas, went in there, and that girl told me, said, "Do you want a couple," I don't know what she called them, whatever they, you know, they got different names for these tickets. You know, I don't know what it was she said, but it wasn't a Powerball, but, you know, they got names. I don't even know what they are. See, y'all, some of y'all are being wise. You won't speak it out. You know what I'm talking about. See, I said, "Yeah, give me a couple of them." I thought it was, you know, maybe a ticket to dinner somewhere or something. I didn't know what it was. I thought she was giving it to me anyway. She added that to my bill. I didn't know that. Till when I got to the car, the kids are the ones that told me. Me and Sister Smith didn't even know what I had. She said, "What is this?" I said, "I don't know. That lady gave it to me." The kids said, "They didn't give you that. That's lottery tickets." I said, "What? What's a lottery?" They explained it to me. I said, "Don't tell nobody that this preacher bought is gambling." That's the only tickets, by the way, lottery tickets I ever bought, and I didn't even know I bought them. So I don't know if they won anything or not. We threw them away. I might have been a $1 million winner, and I didn't know it. But you could win. I heard it on TV the other day that if you took the automatic is payout right now, is that what it means? You'd get $33 million. I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't help you. It won't help you. I know you're thinking, "I'd like to see if it would." But me and my wife, you know, God did bless us. Let me tell you something. After God does humble you, if you'll turn to Him, He'll bless you. He repays. He's quite a God. She and I one day had 2 Lincoln Continentals and 2 Porsches in our garage and in the driveway. Standing, looking out our bedroom, sliding glass door window, overlooking a 32-foot swimming pool. And she had tears running down her face. And she said, "God, is this all there is to life?" I'm telling you, we were miserable. We got away from God and all those blessings. We were going to church. Do you know you can go to church and not be serving God? You can go to church and your heart's not with God. Oh, it's been quite a ride, but I'm telling you, I'm serving a great God today. I'm serving a great God. Everybody stand up. I'm I want to pray right here. I want you to pray with me. Let's ask God to help us. Even if you're serving God right, you are to be feeling today, I need more of Him. I need to give Him more of me. Let's ask Him here today to help us. Oh God, precious Lord, precious Savior, oh Lamb of God, precious Lord, God, would you help us today to turn our lives over to you in a greater way? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Precious Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I need you, Lord. Help me, oh, God, to serve you in a greater way. God, come into my life in a greater way. Work in my being in a greater way, Lord. Help me, oh God, to give you more of my life. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Help me to realize, oh God, that when conditions come, that you're talking. You're talking, oh God. If we were all serving you, we'd be in a blessed time. There's something wrong, Lord. We know there's something wrong. Help us, oh God, be a part of what would turn it around. What would change things and cause your blessings. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I don't ever do this, but I want everyone's head to stay bowed. If there's someone here today who would say, God has talked to my heart. I'm not serving the Lord like I know I should. But I'd like to change that today. I'd like to turn my life over to God. Would you just slip up your hand so I could pray for you? I'm not going to ask you to come down front. I'm going to ask you to obey God dealing with your heart. Let this day, let God touch you in a way that would turn your life around. Let it be a new day of new beginnings for you. He's calling this world to repentance and to turn to Him and consider Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I hope someone might have a song right here that would help us while we're getting ready to sing a song. Just keep standing if you would. Is this Rachel, Sister Rachel Smith? All right. Okay, yes, Brother Tamir used to be in Cape Girardeau many years ago. His sister? All right. Well, we're sure glad to have you. God bless you for being here. We're thankful to have you. 89 years old. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you've been sitting a while, so I'm just going to let you stand and keep your rest your bodies a little bit. Let's worship the Lord. Let the Lord touch you right here in this song. Hallelujah. If the ushers would come while I was singing this song, maybe I better let you sit down. See, it'll be hard for the ushers to find you. You know, taking up the offering, but I want to take up an offering right here for Haiti. The precious people of God need our help right now. Is there another right back there? Yeah.
Before we sing this song, I've been singing this song for the past couple of days. I've been really, Brother Smith hit on a lot of things of what I've been thinking about, of knowing the Father so intimately that you'd be completely fulfilled in your being. While we were in Batesville, we kind of hit on a few things about being fulfilled in the Lord. And by that, I mean, a lot of times in this world, we try and, as we go through life, we start feeling the need of emptiness. You can, like Brother Smith was saying, that here he had Lincoln Continentals and Porsches and a big old swimming pool with a diving board even. And everybody know, I think Brittany knows how much I love a diving board as much as the next guy. But you start to fill your life with all these things, and they're so shallow and so empty. And we start to put up walls because we can at times get so afraid of our surroundings, because we know how evil the world is and how disappointing it can be. But God won't ever, if we ask for bread, God won't ever give us a stone. And I was just thinking about how God is such a refuge to our life. So this song, I've been singing this song in the past couple of days. God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? Father, I've so longed for You. Your love and Your safety are what I have searched for. Father, now I've found You, and You have given victory. God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? Father, I've so longed for You. Your love and Your mercy are what I have searched for. Father, now I found you, and you have given victory. God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God, you're my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God, you're my refuge. Without you, where would I be? God, you're my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God, you're my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? God is my refuge, strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God, yours my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? Father, I've so longed for you. Your love and your safety are what I have searched for. Father, now I found you, and you have given victory. God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower
mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge, a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him, where would I be? God is my refuge, a strong
talking to his people, isn't he? Talking to the whole world, talking to us. And appreciate the spirit that was here and the words we heard. And after dinner today, we want everyone to stay for dinner. We have dinner downstairs in the dining room. And it's a good time for fellowship, to get to know one another. So we want everyone to stay, and we want our visitors and the ministry to go first. And then also an announcement, right after we get done with dinner, the Linegar room downstairs is going to be open for prayer to about 4:30 or 4:45. And if you want to pray for 5 minutes or if you want to pray for 2 hours, we have the facilities available for that. So anyway, aren't you glad you came to church today? Aren't you glad that we God loves us? Anyway, why don't we stand and let's ask God's blessing upon this food. And we want the We want our seasoned citizens to go ahead and make their way down as we pray. And I wanted to say this. It was so good to see Sister Rice here today. We have prayed for her. And Sister Wilkins. And Sister Wilkins, too. It's just not the same. It's not the same. We know when one person's gone, and so we pray for you, and it's just not the same without you. So let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing upon the food. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your mercy, for your goodness, and for the words and the spirit that we received here today. God, we ask you to put them deep down in our heart, God, to bear fruit. We ask you to bless this time of fellowship and to bless this food. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Brother and Sister Brown, Brother Crow, Sister Crow. We want our visitors. Sister Fisher, we want you to stay and